And good morning. Glad to be with you here for a Monday, December 13th, right alongside Rick Windham as we go the KODY phone lines. We have Nebraska State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update. Good morning, Senator Groney, and how are you?
Good.
Good morning, Mike.
Good. A little bit of moisture, not enough, but we got some.
Yeah, it's a start.
Yeah, maybe dust settle for a day or two.
That's about it.
We're getting ready for the session, of course.
Sure.
And people are meeting and talking about big plans, but I'm not too optimistic we'll get anything conservative done. We just don't have the numbers. 32 registered Republicans, but my last count, I'd count on about 14, maybe 16 of those as being somebody that could get elected in Lincoln County. I got better say Perkins and the other three, too, Logan. But you just don't have the numbers. And there's too many audited deal who get excited because they get a deal done and trade off bad bills to get theirs passed. I just don't see much happening. But we'll see. We'll find out. The big thing to fight over is the ARPA money, and I got my bids in on that and trying to make my connections so we can get some money out in western Nebraska. That's the COVID relief funding.
Right.
America recovery plan. I think we ought to call it bailing from the Titanic plan. Keep it afloat for a little bit longer. So we're down here again. I promised a group in Omaha to talk to them this morning, so I got to head over there. Got down late last night. And working on legislation. I put together another version of that discipline bill. Talking to a couple of senators about having them sponsors because with some of the radical left-wing fanatics down here, my name is toxic on a bill. They don't like strong males. They're immature. So, but you can't debate that with logic or common sense. And I don't think my constituents want me to become mamby-pamby to please. So, but anyway, I do have the good God-given ability to write a bill. So, it'll be introduced at least. But the winds are in our favor. I don't know if anybody read the latest teachers union survey. A third of the teachers are talking about getting out of education.
That is really concerning. Not like there's an excess of educators in today's world anyway.
Yeah, and then historically those that did retire would go back and substitute. Well, they got out because they couldn't stand the classroom anymore, the environment in the classroom, so
yeah.
They're not signing up to substitute.
No, unfortunately.
There was just a story on the national news this morning about that very same thing.
Yeah, and it's a couple of factors. One is the mental health lobby is so fanatical. They think everything that we consider just an ordinary kid misbehaving is mental health. Not that discipline can straighten a kid out. So they want their fingers in all the education dollars, which is a lot of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the special education lobby. I firmly agree kids at all opportunities should be with their peers in a classroom, but the pendulum has swung too far. And we got some of these fanatical mothers of special education kids that their kid can do no wrong. That not only do they belong in the classroom, their culture is to destroy the classroom, and therefore they should be allowed to do that. And that's a huge hurdle to overcome because it's hard to confront them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is life. Your child has special needs, but that doesn't mean they have the right to act differently or behave differently in the classroom and harm others. But you wouldn't believe the hate mail I get from some. But then that's some. But most parents who have a special needs kid want to work with the system, want their child to learn discipline and allow the teacher to reward them when they do behave right. But it's a fight, I'll tell you. It's a fight, and it's only a few, but it's a few very vocal ones.
Yeah.
And then you have an ARC. It's called ARC. The term for it, an organization of K-12 can't remember what it stands for. It's ARCH. But their leader is just preys on that, scares parents about how what's going to happen to their children if teachers are allowed to restrain their child when they're being harmed or being attempted to be, or they could be harmed themselves or harm someone else. It's just fanatical. But, you know, we had 33, 35 votes at one time 2 years ago, and Klausky betrayed me, and Senator Walz betrayed us. Not Walz, excuse me. She didn't. She was always in her defense, she always was against it. She just hops when the lobby, she's a lobby lackey. If the lobby from the education establishment tells her to jump, she jumps.
A lobby lackey. Now, that's a new term. I like that one.
Well, there's a lot of them down here. That's how they get their campaign money. But it was Wishart who said they would help the teachers, the teachers unions on the same side on this, help the teachers union and Klausky and there was a couple others. But anyway, I think that, you know, it's building. I mean, there's a need here. We have to do something. So that might show up again. Otherwise, you know, I've got my in-court bill, and I should have the votes to get it out of committee. There's going to be a couple senators do things behind the scenes to try to stop it because it affects their farm directly. They benefit from mining our natural resources, and they want to make sure they can keep mining it, and they can abuse their water, groundwater. But overall, it's a good plan. All it does, all the in-court bill does, is tell the local elected NRD members, board members, that they can sell the land because they're getting misguided by legal advice from the establishment's lawyer, Blankenau. And I don't blame them farmers on the board. If a lawyer says that, you got to take that into consideration. But if it's black and white in statute, well, then we can maybe get something done out there.
Senator Groney, do you have any idea what your priority bill might be?
It'd be that one.
The in-court bill would be?
Yeah. Okay. That's one of the three issues I ran on.
Sure.
But I'll wait and see if somebody backstabs me again and it doesn't have the votes. But then I'll pick a different one. I've made it clear, and a lot of senators have, really conservative ones, Erdman and Halloran and Clements and Flama, that we're not going to be very cooperative if we don't address the social issues that our constituents are screaming about, vaccine mandates and 30-30, which my in-court bill basically is a local 30-30 bill where government's controlling land and using its land, use for no good reason when it should be in private hands. And Second Amendment rights, there's Senator Halloran has that LB 188 about sovereignty that the feds or somebody higher up decides to take Second Amendment rights away, that state sovereignty overrules, can overrule it. That one, and then there's some voter bills that need to come out of committee, but they're all going to have to be pulled. It's a poll motion. We need 25 votes for that.
Will any of those be in regards to voter ID?
Well, there's a petition, so we don't have to worry about that. And that petition is doing well, getting signatures. So
yes, and you can sign it locally. Tallman Jewelers downtown has the petition.
There you go. Throw it in. I mean, yeah, get it signed. I haven't had a chance to sign it yet.
Well, now you could. I just told you where it's available, Senator.
I will. I haven't seen Karen for a while. I need to go visit with Karen anyway.
You could do some Christmas shopping for Barb while you're there
it
signed.
Now you're going too far.
Barb would appreciate it,
sure. Yeah. Rick and I are working on commission this morning.
Yes, you are. You'll be right over to Karen's place selling some ads, won't you?
Yep.
Anyway, by the way, I plan on hitting downtown. It's such a unique experience now. Finally, we got past the good old boys and fixed the old downtown up. I need to get down there and do a little shopping. But it's a nice shopping experience again.
Yes, it is.
It's been fixed up. So but that's what's going on. We just got to stick together in this too often we get the votes and somebody gets an ego trip and they backstab or make a deal at the other side and everything falls apart. And it's not a good environment. I'm not going to miss it in a year.
I got one for you, Mike, that you might be able to use on the floor sometime, particularly when you're getting a lot of guff or whatever from the radical side of things. And this comes from Socrates, so it's not like it's a new thought. The quote is, when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the losers.
Yeah, oh, I've heard that one. But now we got this thing called Twitter, and Senator Moorfield used it well against me, attacking, making claims, sending it out, having them sending me and other senators nasty emails about me, and it worked. I mean, because we got some weak Senator Gregory and Senator Friesen decided I was too controversial to be head chair because they're used to the small town. Everybody gets along, and we go 8-0 votes on this city council and the school board, and we all act like everything's good. But no, it does. Well, I'm looking at one that I have on my sent to me by a minister on my bulletin board in front of me. It says, bold-hearted men are always called mean-spirited by cowards and by
Charles
Spurgeon.
Exactly.
Yeah, they can't debate you in the public circle, so they attack. And they say you're being mean by telling truth. But anyway, it's what life is. It's amazing this country has lasted as long as it has with a few bold-hearted individuals holding back the tide of whatever you want to call it, socialism, could sums it up. But anyway, no, we're doing that. Also, we've been working on some, I'm working on a bill, which I'm working with Senator Wayne on, because he's the Urban Affairs Committee chair, about micro-TIF expanding it. I've gotten a lot of calls from communities where they got the vacant lots, and we excluded vacant lots because, you know, we were paranoid that they were going to go out in the cornfields again. Some CRA director was going to, development was going to abuse it and use the micro-TIF out in some cornfield along the interstate. But, it's tight language where, you know, in them older parts of town, any town, a house burned down 20 or 30 years ago or was condemned or a lot, something was never built on it because it needed fill, or somebody started out having an acreage. You know, we see that in a lot of parts of North Platte, every town, where on the edges, the original part, there's 2 acres or something where it got a little horse corral or something. But it's been in the city for 100 years. And we're going to expand it so somebody could build a home on that and apply for a micro TIF. Also, move it to 15 years like all the other TIFs are, so that, you know, it matches. Especially, I mean, I look at some of those homes like Habitat for Humanity or the federal housing units where those folks are lucky to move in and then all of a sudden they get hit with a $3,000 or $4,000 property tax bill. So that we can, in other words, the big catchphrase now is workforce housing, and with the packing plant coming, we need affordable housing. And affordable housing to somebody making $50,000 a year, which is a good wage for them, is not a $275,000 house out by the golf course, or a $300,000. So anyway, I think it's a bill that helps the old American dream of home ownership that a lot of us did. We bought a home and fixed it up and then traded it as we became more affluent. And I did it twice, and where it can get some help with your tax dollars while you're doing that. So anyway, that's coming, but I'm not going to put my name on it. And hopefully I'm writing it, but it's included in the Urban Affairs Committee bill, priority bill. We keep banging around away, and I'm trying to help some other senators. We each try to help each other, I guess, those of us that are honest and can be trusted with getting their bills out. So Senator Clements is bringing one on inheritance tax. Senator Erdman's about his tax, his consumption tax. I'm not sure what Brewer is yet, but there'll be a lot of bills again introduced.
And Senator Groney, you mentioned just a minute ago that the meatpacking plant did receive city approval a week ago. Obviously, this is something that you've been pretty passionate about and have to be pretty excited about as a citizen of Lincoln County.
Well, I was going to try to get there, but I was staying out in Colorado, and I mind. I had a breakfast appointment, and I was going to go back to the hotel and get my luggage after I had my breakfast appointment. And guess what? I drove out of town, so I had to turn around and go back and get it. But that made me late for the. And I knew it was just been a bin pomp. Because I knew the groundwork had been done, and
you realize, Mike, that other people listen to this show. So now there's going to be a Twitter about you confessing that you're losing your mind.
There might be another one out there that says, "My God, that's the most honest politician I ever heard in my life."
There you go.
Anyway, I was a little disappointed about the scuffle. I wanted to be there to address that scuffle about the noise. I mean, about the smell.
Oh,
that,
sure.
That was unnecessary. That was absolutely unnecessary. That was spiteful. It didn't need to be in the contract. That's like saying if a cab company came to town and you put in there that if you're going to have, we're going to help you in a cab and your cab taxi company, you got to obey the speeding limits. It's absolutely asinine. Or that's like saying you're going to come to town and you're going to build a grocery store and then all of your trash, you have to sign a contract to have your trash hauled away to the dump. That's spiteful. It's mean. It did not help the cause at all to bring more ag-related industry into the community. Because when you there are federal laws, there are state laws, there are city ordinances. It doesn't need to be in a redevelopment contract. Those are there. You obey them no matter who you are. If you are a citizen comes to town and you have nothing to do with the redevelopment authority, you obey those laws. So when you think about it, it was just mean-spirited, basically. There are some people who are mean-spirited, but they're not conservative, bold-hearted men. So I thought that was foolishness, and the way the amendment was written, that was reasonable. But I hope the city has enough common sense not to be passing ordinances on smell before they're necessary. I mean, if the plant's going to be built, and you can't work it out with those running it, if there's smell develops, then maybe you have passed an ordinance, but you don't do it preemptive. Mm-hmm. So maybe it was good I wasn't. But I don't like that kind of stuff. That's just old good old boy politics that I was hoping disappeared in this community. That kind of stuff where it's, I'm mad because I wasn't more involved, and I'm going to stick my fingers in this and stick my hand in their finger in their eye as often as I can. And it needs to go away. But anyway, so there's my two bits on it. So I'm very happy it passed. I'm happy they're going along with it. I can try to do my thing down here and help alleviate some of the financial stress that's going to be on this thing with the Biden COVID inflation that has hit it. That's where I'm picking up and taking it from there. Anyway.
Very well.
The only other... Only other news I wanted to mention with you this morning, Senator Groney, somewhat relates to you, and it's a little concerning, but Attorney General Peterson announced that he's not going to run for re-election, and I know that obviously you as a state senator don't get to work with the Attorney General often, but I feel he's done an amazing job, especially in regards to the recent mandates that the White House has tried to pass on, and you look at it, Attorney General Peterson has been right there at the forefront trying to put a stop to some of these. So a little concerning when he's not going to run for re-election, and hopefully we can get a strong individual to fill that seat.
Oh, he's done a good job. A lot better than the last guy. A lot better than Bruni. He has principles. He does what he thinks is correct. He attempted to help me on the NCORP deal. We got so much back push from the lobby that we had to come to back off a little bit with the AG part of it. But anyway, he's fine. Senator Hilger's a president. He'll be great. He'll be
okay.
Really good at it.
Somebody that you'd support if they do decide to run?
Oh, yeah. Senator Hillers runs all support him. He's a good, decent man. And he's a very, very talented lawyer, and he's a speaker right now, but I would assume he's going to run. There's nobody else I can even think of in the running that would even have the stature he does. So,
But the problem still lies. We need another strong conservative individual to fill his seat then, too. So
yeah, I don't know who that would be. I would be gone. Who they elect? There's some candidates that could do it.
Sure, sure.
I'd heard that a long time ago. He wasn't going to run because, of course, he would have been like all the other incumbents and entered, said he was running a lot earlier if he was.
Yeah.
But there was something else I was going to mention to you, but I forgot now with the elections. It's getting some good candidates lined up, I think, for some of the positions: state school board, county commissioner, AG will have a good one, governor. I'm not sure who I support yet, but I'm getting pressure to run for some offices, but I don't know. It's sitting on the porch watching the river go by. It's getting more and more appetizing all the time.
Amen.
And I don't know. But we'll see how we get through this 60 days. When we start again, it'll be 60.
Quickly approaching.
See how it could be good. It could be good if we force the issue and bring some issues to the, because there's some really radical left-wing senators up for re-election that I don't even think they're so far left and so crazy that I think if we got them to say some, have to take on, you know, try to defeat some bills like COVID mandates and Second Amendment rights and stuff, that it would help them lose. But you got to get them on the record. And that's why I told some of the boat traders down here to take a year off, because we can't have Patty Pansy Brooks looking good and being collegial, helping her get her bills passed, and then she turns around and beats Fodenberry. We can't have Adam Moorfield be the county attorney for Lancaster County when he tweets attacks on other senators, and he's never, ever held a case in a criminal courtroom, and he wants to be a Lancaster County attorney. You've got Matt Hansen, who wants to be the county clerk. I mean, the people in Lincoln have got to wise up. Some of these folks just are too radical to be in public, like, and no experience. And then you got Blood, of course, running for governor, but that's enough said there. Anyway, I don't know, but they talk to the left, the minority, the ones who want to be who want to quiet you down are the minority. Don't like bold-hearted men. They don't like open speech because their issues lose, and then they look radical. They don't want to look radical. They want to continue to fool the electorate with their niceness, when in their hearts they're basically evil socialists. I mean, they want to take everything away from you. They want to drive you down to their level, but they're nice. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Senator Garone, as always, we appreciate the time. Best of luck to you this week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Yep. Bye. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Senator Garone. And again, as District 42 Representative Mike Garone joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs of the Morning. As always, every weekday it's presented to you by Shelter Insurance agents Pete Vols, Brent Rogo, and Bo Widd. For home, life, auto insurance, and more, call the Shelter Guys of North Platte.